Okay, welcome everyone. This is Margaret Lange, and this is Module 1 of the Tapping into Wealth Transformation. I am super excited that you're here, and I want to start by giving you a bit of an overview of the program and what this is going to be like, because I guarantee you, you've never done a program like this before. So the reason I am doing this program is because over my years of being a coach and being also a tapping expert at the same time, it became very clear to me, working both on my own issues and with thousands of people, that one of the biggest things that we need to get very specific about when we do any kind of clearing or transformational work is money and wealth. And that many people are doing general work around that, around abundance or law of attraction, but not getting specific. And so I learned that it's one of the biggest problems that people have, causing all sorts of pain and suffering and worry and disempowerment and just, you know, breaking up families, breaking up people's careers, stopping people from doing what they love, yet it's not very addressed in a very specific way. And so I really made it my mission to uncover and bring light and clarity to all of the very specific blocks we have against money and against wealth, which are really two different things. And I discovered that there's actually five different kinds of money. And then when we have that light and that clarity, we can start clearing away those blocks. And when we do that, an entirely different world is possible. And so I want you to think about the fact that it's incredibly difficult to take action or even make a decision about something when you don't have great clarity. And this is key because consciousness and growth and evolving all starts with clarity. If we don't have clarity, we can't move forward. We can't be decisive. We can't be powerful. We can't even direct our energy because there's confusion. And I want you to think about the fact that it's very likely that although you may have wanted to clear your blocks, and we hear a lot in the personal development space about money blocks and mindset, and I have inner blocks stopping me from money and wealth set points, you may not have ever been this specific about finding out, getting clarity on exactly what yours are, not everybody else's, but yours, so that you can see it and have an aha moment about it and then move forward with clearing it. So getting very specific about money led me to realize, again, from working with thousands of people, they taught me this, that the different types of money have different energies and will create a different reaction in people, period. So the other thing I want to start out with bringing up right now is the fact that there is a mind-body-money connection. We've all heard of the mind-body connection, and it's really how your apps, your autonomic nervous system, a physiological change in your body, happens based on what you're thinking about. So your thoughts can trigger emotions and feelings and sensations running through your nervous system. That's the mind-body connection. Well, there's actually a mind-body-money connection because, as you're about to see, each of the different specific types of money will trigger a very specific way that your mind-body system reacts. Like, blasting through your nervous system will be emotions and feelings, and spinning through your head will be habitual things that you are saying to yourself over and over. So the first process that we're going to do today in this module one is called the money map, and it is first of all going to give you incredible clarity about the three things, the three levels of very specific things that are happening in the five kinds of money. So we're getting deeper and more specific to get even more clarity. So you're going to get incredible clarity about what's happening there, and it's going to set you up to use, in my opinion, one of the world's greatest mind-body shifting tools, which is tapping, also known as emotional freedom techniques, right? So I use my version of tapping to shift and to move the energy that's both in our nervous system and that's also running sort of habitually like a recorded message in our head over and over and over. I use tapping in a laser-focused way to clear and shift what's happening there. And then we actually are going to use it on the other side of clearing blocks to open up and to tap into more energy. So in this particular program, we aren't going to just clear blocks away. We are also going to go on a journey to clearing what we have. Clearing is the starting point, and then getting into where do you want to go, and then what's stopping you from taking those bigger next steps, right? So we start with where you are now, and there's all sorts of unconscious programming and mind, body, money stuff that is wired into you that's keeping you right here. Then we start to look at where you want to be in a process I call outrageous goals. And as you do that, it's sort of like stepping up, like this is what I'm going to create my life as in a new way. And when we do that, new things, brand new things will show up to actually stop us in the way that those things appear are things like procrastination or avoiding the very things that you know you probably should be doing. So we're going to cover a lot of ground in these six modules from the past of where a lot of your money set points keeping you where you are right now have come from, and then going forward, what would stop you from having your, not only your money, but your energy, your confidence, your power, which of course is what creates your money, your action, your focus, your decisiveness. What stops those things from being full on? What stops you from being a person standing full on in your power, creating your life the way you want it, including one of the aspects of how you want your life to be in money, right? Because we don't tap and then money falls out of the sky. We tap and we start growing and evolving to the version of ourselves that stands with more confidence, more power, more brilliance, more awesomeness, taking more action, and that is a person who easily earns and creates wealth. So we want to go on a fuller journey in this program, and that is my promise to you. I'm so excited that you're here. I'm excited that you had the courage to sign up. And I'm excited to get started. And so you may or may not have already done my free webinar called How to Clear the Biggest Money Blocks Stopping You from Earning and Creating Wealth. And if you went through that free training, you may have seen some exposure to this money map because I went through it there. So we're going to jump in and we're going to redial in that money map. There's a handout that I have that comes with Module 1 called My Confidential Money Map that if you have it in front of you, you can take notes on it. I'm going to walk you through it. You don't necessarily need it in front of you right now. And then there's a second handout, which is a tapping script that you can customize from the money map work we do today, and that will actually be your homework. So after you listen to this class, you can go and find those handouts, and you will be on your way. So we're going to jump in and get started. And we are going for miracles. We are going for miracles. Okay, so I mentioned that there are five kinds of money, and we're going to jump into that now. The reason I found that there's five kinds of money is that when I started out working with lots and lots of clients, particularly clients who came from the middle class or their parents came from either the working class or middle class, I found that if I talked about money in general or wealth or abundance and prosperity, I got sort of a generalized reaction. But when I started to get very specific and say to clients, well, let's talk about your income. How much are you earning right now? I saw a much more intensive reaction from their physiology, the emotions that I could see on their face, and how they started to talk inside their head and ramble even to me. So if I spoke about their income versus their savings versus their debt versus goals we wanted to set, I got very different reactions. And then I found that there was a fifth kind of money called toxic money, which we'll touch on as well. But what I want to do right now is start walking through the five kinds of money and letting you see that there are these pieces to it, these three pieces of deeper complexity that go with each of these specific kinds of money. So the first one is always going to be emotions, like nervous system wiring. So feelings, sensations, you know, anxiety, stress, sadness, fear, emotions with the accompanying sensations that are being driven literally through your autonomic nervous system that pop up instantaneously. And I think, interestingly, the second we start talking very specifically about the different kinds of money, and they're slightly different from each one. And I say interestingly because I find it fascinating that your nervous system is wired so specifically to react instantaneously to different kinds of money. And there's a turnaround on that that I'm going to talk about, that we've sort of been looking at it in reverse most of our lives, okay? Secondly, there are programmed loops of thinking I call habitual self-talk, that as soon as you start talking about a certain kind of money, you will hear a dialogue in your head that you probably aren't usually that aware of, but I'm going to ask you to breathe in and tune into it and hear what it's saying. The cool thing about this self-talk, and cool in a bad way, a very damaging bad way, is that we never question it. It just plays like it is the truth, and it plays like a recording over and over and over and over, and it is never questioned by us. It is just listened to and reinforced throughout your system. Cool in a very bad way, right? So when you hear it today, and you're going to hear four different versions of that, it's an aha moment that you're going to capture and is going to create something very, very powerful for you. You know, at the end of this, we have the money map, and I really feel that what you put on this money map today has the power to transform every aspect of your life. That's how powerful these aha moments are. Thirdly, not all, but sometimes, the different kinds of money can have a third piece, which is a related trauma. I call it a financial trauma. When it's something that traumatic that happened to you, that suddenly, when you look at whichever kind of money we're talking about, when you start tuning into that, it pops in your head. And you think about that past trauma. It could have been an emotional trauma, relationship trauma, physical trauma, or literally a financial trauma, like where you got, you know, bankrupt or stolen from or, you know, cheated out of something, or had a battle over money. It's something that when you look at it, when it pops in your head, you can look back at it and say, you know, if that hadn't happened, my money wouldn't be this way. And that's how we know it's a connected trauma. And it also usually, like, it'll still trigger emotion, right? So we know it's still active in actually taking whatever nervous system you've already been programmed with, whatever nervous system reaction, and like amp it up even more. So when you find a connected trauma to something, you know, sometimes people will say, yeah, I have anxiety about public speaking. This is a great example, right? Public speaking is not life-threateningly dangerous, but if you have fear of public speaking, despite your conscious mind, you will feel a full-blown nervous system reaction, right? Heart pounding, you'll feel breathy, your palms get sweaty, your armpits get sweaty. It's a disaster, right? And you can be saying, like, what is wrong with me? Other people are getting up and talking, and they're fine. Like, your conscious mind cannot overcome that programmed, automatic, blasting through the nervous system reaction. Now, it's one thing to be nervous, But if you uncover a past trauma that feels connected to it, like you were shamed somehow in public or something, or something really bad happened, you stood up in front of everyone and people laughed, some kind of a mini or real trauma that happened, what that does is it takes that nervousness of public speaking and it amps it up into super anxiety and fear to, for some people, a debilitating level. They literally have to take beta blockers. So it's the same in your money. When you uncover, I think I have a past event that is, I still feel it, still feel anger or sadness or just shock and confusion, and this affected my money, or it seems to be related into how I look at my this particular kind of money, just know that, again, that aha moment, you've uncovered something that is like amping up and supercharging the negative reaction in your system. That's how a trauma works, okay? So we're looking at five kinds of money. We're going to really focus on four because the fifth one not everybody has. So I'm just going to speak to it, but we're not going to get too far into it. And then we're going to look at the three aspects under each one. Okay, so we're going to start with your savings account. So I want you to take out a piece of paper. If you don't have the handout in front of you, just take out a piece of paper and write on it exactly how much you have in savings right now. And I mean liquid savings, like a savings account, not like a retirement account. I mean, if you, like, your car broke down tomorrow and you needed to pay for that, what savings do you have? And I want you to write that number down and just regard it. Take a look at it. Take a breath. And are you already starting to hear something go through your head about it? Something that you're saying. Now, of course, a lot of people will say it's not enough. And so if you're hearing that in your head, I want you to check and see how true that feels. It's not enough. And as you even look at it and voice it, sometimes that can make whatever feeling you're starting to have through your nervous system even more intensive. And so I want you to write down, what are you feeling? What is blasting through your nervous system right now? And I'm saying it that way because I want you to have real clarity about this mind-body-money connection. Because mind-body problem means we need a mind-body tool. And you can't very easily, you cannot easily overcome a mind-body blast of anxiety or stress or fear without using a mind-body tool. And we're going to use one today, okay? So what's the feeling? What's the intensity? On a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is the worst, how high is it? If you're feeling anxiety, is it at a 10? Is it at a 5? How high is it? And this is just your best guess. And so I want you to write down the emotion, the feeling, and whatever you can hear is running through your head. Just write it down. Get it on paper. It's usually quite negative. So take a second and do that now. Okay, so every time you think about your savings, which can almost, like, just below our level of consciousness, can sort of pop into our head multiple times a day or a week, right, especially when expenses come up, what blasts through your nervous system and what runs through your head automatically without you ever questioning or wanting it to, this is what happens in you. And I just want you to think about that and whether or not that puts you in a resourceful state. Does that give you a resourceful, empowered state? Period. Question mark. when you're feeling emotions and thinking like that, do you think, and if you've studied the stress response or the fight or flight response, like clinically how it's described in the medical literature or in the psychology world, you would know that it narrows your thinking. It reduces your resiliency. You don't have access to ideas and inspiration. You're literally in fight or flight mode. So the very thing that you'd probably love to make bigger and expand and put more energy and attention on triggers a really negative reaction. How much time do you think that you'd be willing to sit down and spend setting goals and making plans to create more savings when it feels this crappy and creates this much inner sad or depressing or unresourceful talk? And I bring that up because I want you to sort of have a little more self-compassion right now of why your savings isn't probably where it is, where you want it to be. And you're probably pretty hard on yourself about it. So just give yourself a little bit of compassion and understanding. Like, I get it, Margaret. This is why I spend literally no time creating any priority or attention or energy or ideas or strategies that I know exist out there trying to grow my savings account. I also want to point out that if something feels impossible, it would be crazy to try and work on it. And if your programming says it's impossible to save, which mine did, for sure, you lived hand to mouth, well, why would you even try to save? It's impossible. You're not going to spend any time on it. So, aha moment, give yourself compassion and know that when you shift, miracles are possible, period. Let's get to that third piece for savings. When you look at your savings account, this may or may not be true for you, but when you look at your savings account, is there anything that you are suddenly remembering from the past that pops into your head that has affected your savings account? Where you look at that and you go, you know, it still makes me sad or mad or it still feels like such a loss. If that hadn't happened, I would have a more ability to save, more money in my savings account. Now, sometimes the event that pops into your head has nothing to do with money, but it's connected to the feeling. For example, very often when I have people look at their savings, they'll feel some anxiety, like, oh, my God, what if something happens? I have no savings. But they'll also feel profound sadness. And the sadness sounds like this: I never get to feel safe. And there's this sadness or this loss about it. And that's where sometimes there's a traumatic event from the past that involved a sadness or a great loss that made you feel like you lost your security. And ever since then, you've never really felt safe. Now, some people, you know, just from your childhood, you've never felt safe. But sometimes we'll have a traumatic event, you know, like sometimes a death of a parent can do this, where a child's, you know, as a child, your life changed dramatically because a parent died and all of a sudden half the, you know, or more of the money was gone and it was scary. And it's a loss that, believe it or not, it gets mixed up into the type of money called savings. Because I want you to let this in. Savings is both real dollars and cents money that we have on this planet, and it is a energetic metaphor. Because what savings means is security, safety, a feeling of, I can breathe, I'm safe, I'm secure, there's a buffer. Does that make sense? I know it sounds a little crazy and woo-woo, But when you think about it, that's what savings mean. It's a very specific type of money. And when we have it, we feel safer. And when we don't, we feel very unsecure. So, is there a past event that you need to write down and capture right now for yourself and say, wow, I really need to work on this? And when we do the tapping a little bit later in the class, you know, if a lot of sadness is coming up for you and you're already feeling it, then while we're doing the tapping, you're really going to be processing that sadness and honoring it. We want to honor all of these feelings, and that's how we get to the other side of them. We tap, we voice, we move the energy. Tapping is very different because it's a clearing technique. And when we do that, we shift to the other side. It is an incredible and clinically proven PTSD tool. So it works fantastically on all of the emotions that you could still be carrying about a trauma. Okay, so it's coming in the tapping. So this is the turnaround that I want to talk about. Now, it would make sense that as you look at the number, I had you write down your savings first and then look at it and then notice what you felt. And it really seems to make sense that you're feeling everything right now because of your savings. You're feeling this anxiety or the sadness or the loss or the frustration or whatever you're feeling, whatever emotion it is, anger, could be anything, that you're feeling it in reaction to seeing your savings. And although that's true because of what is currently manifested in your life, I want to suggest to you that the reason your savings is exactly where it is because the feelings were there first. You already were wired and programmed with this habitual way of thinking and this emotional feeling around it's not enough, I don't feel safe. That started first, and then at a very unconscious level, I know this sounds crazy and strange, but I'm telling you it's true. I've seen it for 10 years and thousands of people. The feeling and the wiring is there first, and then you have literally, unconsciously manifested your money to match the way you learned it should be and will be and the way the world is and the way money works and the way things are for people like us from our family and my upbringing and my social class and all that stuff. Just want you to sit with that for a second because it's going to weave all through the next three we go through. We started with the wiring, and that literally created your money to be this way. It's kind of terrifying on the one hand. It's shocking. And when I talk about clarity and my commitment and my passion around bringing clarity, it's because when we wake up and see this, oh my gosh, we can change everything. We can change everything. Because it means if we shift this, if we're on it and we see it, the light of clarity, there's an expression that says you can't put the genie back in the bottle, right? Once you see it, you're like, wow, this is what I've been doing my whole life, Margaret. Once you see it, and then we can use this powerful tool of tapping, all of a sudden your inner world will create a whole new reality in your savings. It's amazing. So it's powerful. We just have to get through the tough part of seeing it and getting to what these strong emotions are and then honoring them and moving them and tapping through them so we can get to the other side. And I promise that's what we're going to do. Hope that sounds good. Okay. I always feel like when I say that, people are going to think I'm crazy. And then I talk to people and I realize they're way more with me than I realized. I'm like, this sounds crazy. It sounds woo-woo. And they say, actually, Margaret, I'm feeling it right now, and you're right. It doesn't sound crazy. So let's move on to the next one, and we can go a little faster because you now understand all these elements. Because it's going to get worse because we're going to do debt next. Okay? Now, if you don't have any debt, like put your hands together and just like praise the universe that you don't have to, that this piece is missing for you. You don't have all this work to do around debt, right? However, if you have no debt, for example, but you have constant anxiety about it, and you're super debt averse and you can't have any debt at all, then you might want to still work through this. Because any area that you have a big emotional response, you want to work on. Like I know it's certain friends that I've had where they have no debt, but they're so afraid of having debt that it's almost difficult to even have a mortgage because it like panics them and they're scrambling to pay everything off, and they live in a very they still live in a very hand to mouth format, right? So even when they don't have debt, they have anxiety. So we want to have this attitude throughout all of the modules of this program of this willingness to really leave no stone unturned in discovering in each section, in each module, where you can find your stuff, your things to clear, your clarity, even if on the surface it feels like maybe this isn't my issue, right? Just be willing to leave no stone unturned. Okay, so I want you to write down how much debt you have. And you can really focus on the kind of debt that is troublesome, right? Like credit card debt or bad debt. We know that there's good debt like mortgages, having your house versus an apartment is a long-term investment. So people will always ask me, well, what do I use for debt? And it's really the kind of the debt that you have that is triggering you, that you don't feel good about. For some people, they feel fantastic about their school loans. It's allowing them to earn well. And then there's a lot of other people who feel extremely upset about their school loans and feel tricked and maligned and unfairness, right? And so what piece of debt is upsetting to you? We're looking to find the yucky stuff and use that. So put your debt, write your debt down, and I want you to notice if you're already starting to have a feeling about it. And start to write down those feelings or emotions that are blasting through the nervous system just from looking at that number on your page. And I want you to notice if there's something in your head that you're saying about it. What is going through your head about you, about money, about the world, about the way things are? Like something's running through your head as you look at that debt number. What's running through your head? It's hard to catch it because it happens automatically and you don't even question it. So here's some of the things I hear. No matter what I do, I can never get ahead. What I do is never enough. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. It's impossible. The cards are stacked against me. I'll never get out from under this. These are the kinds of things that go through our head. And I will tell you that along with the same thing of savings and a sort of immediate triggering of anxiety, the number one emotion that people experience is shame. And I would like to submit on record that shame is one of the most powerfully negative emotions that you could ever possibly experience. Think about it. What's worse than shame? Okay, maybe like panic at life-threatening levels is extremely uncomfortable, but shame is powerfully negative, and we experience it a lot. Sometimes all day long, multiple times a day, depending on how you've been programmed to feel shame. So just like with savings, how much time and energy, like we all know there's amazing financial advisors and planners and CPAs and accountants and people who would love to help us in books and strategies. on debt reduction and plans and these just great ideas that anyone can do, and even nonprofit companies that will help you. But how much energy and focus and attention and literally the amazing, brilliant brain power that you probably bring to your day job, how much of that do you think you would spend on your own debt if every time you think about it, it triggers a wall of shame and some really negative inner talk? Again, we're usually pretty hard on ourselves. One of the things that we, when we look at our debt, we also say, and I'm so stupid, I'm not doing anything. It's only, we're so hard on ourselves. So I just want you to give yourself, just as a favor to Margaret, to me, a tiny bit of compassion right now. A tiny bit of compassion and understanding that you are not in a resourceful state. This is why I've worked with financial advisors and CPAs and all sorts of money experts, bankers, who are incredibly brilliant, even advising other people on their debt. And in their own debt, they're a disaster. They're avoiding it. They're frozen. They're in fear. They're in shame. They're not even opening the letters. They say, I don't even know what it is. I have never looked at the numbers, and I'm a CPA. It's not just you. Okay, finally, this can be a big one for financial trauma or trauma. Is there a past event that really affected your debt where you look back and you say, if that hadn't happened? And what I have found is that if there's a connected trauma, it often involves some kind of a betrayal or something that you've never forgiven yourself for. Maybe you've never forgiven someone else too, but you also haven't forgiven yourself because you look back, it affected your money, maybe a bad decision or something, and you say, I should have known better, I was an idiot, I should have been smarter. That is very common when people look at their debt. And I want to suggest to you that although it might feel within your system, within the courthouse inside of you, where you every day are judging yourself for that past event and saying, I was an idiot. When you're in that mode, and people stay in that mode for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, when you're in the mode of unforgiven and not really had a good way to process, which tapping is an incredible way to process a past event. And we actually have a whole module on this that we're going to work through, the financial trauma module. When you don't have a good way to process it so that it is released from your system and you can come back to self-compassion and forgiveness and understanding, then what you're always saying about the past is, I was an idiot, I should have known better, I should have done better, it's all my fault. Every time I look at my debt, I think I'm an idiot or I'm a loser or I'm a failure. And what the energy is I deserve to be punished. I deserve what I'm getting. And I have seen people hold on to debt, all like they're doing it unconsciously. But all of their actions and things they're doing and not doing are elegantly lining up to ensure that they always have this debt, because every time they do it, it's self-punishment because they've never forgiven themselves. I'm going to say that again. Every time you look at your debt, are you punishing yourself? Are you using this debt as self-punishment? Or are you using this debt as a reminder that you were wronged in the past and you've never been able to make that right? Just like the savings account, debt is dollars and cents in the real world, and it's also an energetic or emotional metaphor for punishing yourself or punishing someone else by saying, look what you did to me. This is really important to look at. It can also just be regular old self-punishment. And I'll often say to people, when you look at your debt, how would you finish this sentence? That means I'm. And they always say a failure, a loser, something really dark and negative. Like, this debt means I'm always failing or not good enough or a loser or whatever. It's never positive. And so if that's how they have lived their life, that's the programming that's in them. That's the habitual self-talk. Of course they create debt because it's a self-fulfilling loop of punishment. There's something about saying, I should have known better, or I should be smarter, or I should be better, and I'm not, that has this element of, I need to learn a lesson. I need to learn a lesson. Like, I need this punishment to remind me and to be my lesson. And so I want you to look at your debt and just ask yourself if you've suffered enough, if you've tortured yourself enough over it, and just energetically get ready to move forward from it. To take a breath and move into a new chapter where you don't need to be punished all the time. Okay, the next two are very closely related. I'm switching gears. I'm switching gears. We got to keep going. We're gonna keep the tapping after I finish the next two. The next one is income. So switching gears, I want you to write down the income that you are earning now monthly, because you know what your expenses are monthly, pretty much, I would imagine. What is your monthly income? And what are you saying and feeling about it? This is another one where people will hear themselves in their head. It's not enough. It's not enough. And so if you're hearing that it's not enough, what is the feeling when you say that and it feels really true because it's what's running in your head? What's your nervous system running with? What are the feelings and emotions? Capture everything you hear in your head and the feelings and emotions. And sometimes there can be a trauma connected to it that involves earning. So a couple examples are people who said to me, oh my gosh, Margaret, I raked my whole neighbor's yard when I was 12 years old. And the neighbor wanted to pay me. And my mother caught the neighbor paying me and totally shamed me and said, you give that money back. And ever since then, whenever I get my paycheck, or I ask to be paid, I feel ashamed. That's a connected trauma. Or a parent who had something devastating happen to their income. It's like when we think about our income, it's like I'm suddenly remembering my dad and how he lost his job. So what shows up in income are going to be very unconscious programming around your value and your worth based on your family of origin, people like us in our family. This is how much we earn. This is how much we're worth. We're the Joneses or the Millers, and we're not those people over there who earn a lot of money. We're these people. We work hard. We get screwed. We pay taxes are against us. Whatever those first set of beliefs are. And this is really interesting because here's the thing. You have a whole generation of people who are my age, right? I'm almost 50, and my parents were working class. My father was the first one to go to college in his family. So we all went to college. Seven brothers and sisters, we all went to college and were able to earn more than my parents did, right? Because they were working class. He got an engineering degree. He earned more than anyone in his family ever did. And we were all able to earn more as well. And so the earning more will be accepted by your system when it is established in a rule, in a new sort of format, a new paradigm. So you step into a company, and this is the salary they pay you for this grade level. And in that scenario, we will energetically accept and celebrate that income, right? It's like, wow, you didn't have to say this is how much I want to get paid typically. It's a range. It's a set point. Companies pay you this much for this kind of a degree. This is your grade level. And if it's more than your parents, it will still work. You'll still accept that money, although some people I found do sabotage themselves even there. But because it is set in a new paradigm. However, there's a whole middle class of people like me that can be higher earners than their parents, yet they will still live paycheck to paycheck just like their parents did. So the higher income, it will happen because the company sets it. But we live paycheck to paycheck because we don't want to go past our parents' level. It's really wired in. And when you try to leave a company and go in charge on your own, you will really struggle. That's when it gets hard. Is as soon as you leave the shelter of a paradigm that says, for this degree, in this position, it's this pay rate, this grade level, and you try to go charge on your own for some new thing that you're doing, like coaching, for example, or healing work or something, that's when it becomes a real challenge, because you'll see the holes in the structure around the value in your belief in people like us and whether it's okay to declare our value and say, I deserve to earn well. So in income, and we'll see it get even louder in income goals, because income goals is like, now I'm going to go much higher. We see the pushback from our programming about what's possible for us to earn and what we deserve based on our inner programming about our value. So often when we look at our income, when it's not enough, we hear things in our head, we feel like an anxiety or sometimes a sadness or a frustration, like no matter what I do. And sometimes the self-talk will sort of be like, I'm not earning enough. I'm not enough. I'm not valuable enough, or people don't value me enough. Now, when we switch over to income goals, we sort of turn up the heat on some of this, and that's why it's valuable to do. Because I know every single one of you would say to me, oh, I would love to double my income or triple my income, Margaret. I would love that. And I would say to you, it sounds good on paper, but as a matter of fact, the second we write it on paper, it starts to feel really bad. So let's do that. I want you to write down a big goal for your income, what you would love to earn, And I don't, for the purposes of this, I don't want you to go to like 5 million or 2 million. I want you to just write the next number up from where you are now so that it is very real and very realistic and a step up. Maybe it's double what you're earning, but I want it to be one step, not all the way to millions, because there's something about going to the millions and millions that is very dissociated and we won't really feel anything about it, okay? So the next leap up. Write that number down, and some people will feel excited at first, but what I'm looking for is like the excitement we get to keep. That's good, right? There's always a side of you that is like infinite possibility. Yes, anything's possible. We don't have to do anything with that side. It's great. What we want to clear is the side of you that would now come up as the inner skeptic that is holding all of the programming that we don't normally have to see or hear very clearly. So we're going to let the inner skeptic in you speak, because we need to see what's pushing back in our system, right? You have a positive side, and that's fantastic. We don't want to mess with that. But you also have an inner skeptic that's going to battle you over this. So if you were to look at that income goal and say, it's impossible, which is allowing that inner skeptic to speak. Just see how true it feels. Maybe it's only a 5 or a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. But when it feels true, what's the emotion that gets triggered? What's the feeling of, wow, me earning more is impossible. Sometimes the inner critic will throw out, and it would probably be really hard. I'd have to work all the time. I'd never see my family. I'd never have any time to meditate or exercise or all the things I like. It would be terrible. I would hate my life. Because remember, what we're revealing in the inner skeptic right now is your paradigm, the programming that says, based on my value, this is how hard I have to work for my money. And this is really key point. When you set a big goal, it's almost like saying, well, if my value is this, I'm going to have to work twice as hard, twice as many hours. Even though part of our brain knows other people don't, you know, they don't work twice as hard. There's ways of leveraging and people earn more money and don't do that much more work. Your inner skeptic, the part of you that's holding all of this paradigm, is going to say, it's going to be really hard. You're never going to see your kids. And I've seen people start to cry from looking at a big goal and then being like, I want to think, believe in law of attraction. I write this down. And then they start to feel sad, like it's impossible for me. And I don't want to not see my kids. And I don't want to work like a dog. And it's so sad because there's no way. And they just get rid of that goal. I have had friends who've come into workshops that I've done, buddies I've known, I worked with for years in corporate, and watched them through the course of the workshop erase the goal and make it smaller and smaller and smaller. This is how I learned I had to do this around income goals. I'm like, why is everyone making the goal smaller every day that goes by? Because the more they looked at it, the worse they felt. That feeling of it's impossible made them feel awful. So here's the thing. If you're an achiever and you love to achieve and you're smart and you like to know how to get things done, to have a goal that feels impossible, that you have no idea how to get to, is going to make you feel demoralized. And it would be insane to spend any time or effort or, quote unquote, get your heart into a goal that, quite frankly, feels impossible, right? Wouldn't that the definition of insanity? Going for something that 100% feels impossible? Or even 50% feels impossible. So it's really important to hear this, to have clarity about what pushes back inside of you and what the feelings or emotions are. One of the other modules, we're going to talk about goal traumas. And so the connected trauma I found is a very specific thing. The third piece, so there's what runs through your head, the emotions blasting through your nervous system about this, and sometimes there's a connected trauma that I only discovered from doing this with thousands of people, is that sometimes people have set a really big goal in the past, and then they really believed in it, and then they worked really hard, and they moved heaven and earth, and they killed themselves. Maybe they even destroyed their health going for that goal, and it didn't work out. And I've created a whole module in this training on that. Goal trauma and financial trauma, because if you have one of those, it will hang over your head like a dark cloud. Okay, so the last kind of money, switching gears again, got to keep moving because I want to get to the tapping, is toxic money. And toxic money is money that has a battle around it. And it's money, it's a money situation that just yesterday I was talking with my amazing Tapping Into Wealth coaches about this topic because they deal with this with their clients, and it's kind of like an octopus. Toxic money is a situation where you are either owed money or received money that came with a battle. So it can be money that's owed to you that you're supposed to get, and there's a battle around it, so it's being withheld. Or money that you did receive, but it came with a big price of a battle and you're still angry about it, it becomes toxic money because from the moment it happens, you won't be able to earn. That's what people experience. They tell me over and over, and I'm like, wow, this is toxic money. They'll say, from the moment I went into battle around that, somehow I've never been able to earn again. I like lost my job and this happened and this happened. And literally, Margaret, I've never been able to earn or earn more than a very small certain amount. The other way toxic money can play out is if you are receiving money from someone, sometimes it's a partner or a friend or it's your parents or your elderly parents who are paying for you, bailing you out in a way, or paying for your lifestyle, and it's money that you really need, yet you kind of hate receiving it. It comes at a price for you to be stuck or disempowered or be a little bit in a victim mode and be rescued, and there's something about it that you both need and can't stand. See how that's toxic? The reason why I said it's like an octopus is that it's an issue. The money looks like the issue, but the issue is really wrapped up in all of the relationship issues, all of the power, disempowerment elements, battle elements, taking away and needing and demanding and refusing, all of the power struggle elements in the various relationships. So toxic money is a little more complicated. If you have it, it's a great aha moment. What it does is it shuts down earning. So it has a very particular thing where it does shut down your earning. But the work on it is more like an octopus, tentacles, because it involves working through all of the relationship elements that are making up the toxic money, okay? And that's something that the Tapping Into Wealth coaches know how to do very easily. And you'll find in your membership area, there is a link to the directory of Tapping Into Wealth coaches if you would want to actually work with somebody who's qualified and knows this work inside out, trained and certified by me, to actually work through any of the stuff that we're doing in this program. The Tapping Into Wealth coaches are unbelievable. Okay, so I want to jump in and do some tapping. And we've got lots and lots of people's different experiences. So I want to jump in and do some of the tapping on some of the biggest issues that come up. And then as we end this module, you have another handout that is called The Tapping Script, Customize Your Money Map. And so this customized from your money map. And so this is a script that you has fill in the blanks, right? You actually will take the script, you'll see it in your membership area, and it says, for instance, you would tap through points while you're saying these phrases. The truth is, every time I think about money, my nervous system is wired to react with, and you literally fill in the intensive emotions that are coming up from you that came out in your money map. So you find like the biggest emotions, the most intensive ones, and you fill those out. You just keep going, right? And it'll actually say, and I start thinking thoughts that really feel true like this. And so you actually can plug in things that are very specific to you and use that as your homework. And so over the next week, I want you to make a commitment to really do this tapping. If you want to make a change in your money, it starts with this inner shift, and the tapping is a really powerful tool. It will shift you every time, and what we want to do right now is rewire you so that when you deal with any of the five kinds of money, you are in a highly resourceful state, not a negative, drained, habitual state that comes from your programming that you don't really want to be in and never really chose to be in, right? No one chose to act this way around money. So we want to get you out of that, and it's going to take some commitment. So give it a week commitment before you work through the next module. Really tap through this script. It'll take literally a minute or so a day to do it, and it will make a massive difference in your overall, basically, stress response around money. Okay, so when I jump into tapping or emotional freedom technique, and we'll make sure there's an image just of the tapping points. But, you know, there's tapping, millions of tapping videos that I have. There's lots of, there's an image of the tapping points in my book, Tapping Into Wealth. It's like all over the internet, right? So there's lots of places that you can see where the tapping points are. But what I typically do is I use the tapping points that are the eyebrow point, the side of the eye point, the under the eye point, the under the nose point, the chin point, which is in the cleft of the chin, the collarbone point, and the top of the head. There's more tapping points. There's the karate chop point or the side of the hand point. There's the underarm point. You can see all of these on the picture or looking at any of my videos. And it's not necessary to do all of the points. There's no magic to any particular point. You just want to tap enough of the points so that you're actually shifting the nervous system, because these are acupuncture points. We're not just randomly tapping our body. These are actual acupuncture points that are clinically proven to turn off, to shift, to down-regulate is the clinical word, the autonomic nervous system. And they do work on turning down these habitual things that we say over and over and over. They will feel less true. Okay? So tapping has been around since the 80s. It has worked the same way. It's never varied. When we tap and voice negative things, negative words, negative beliefs, and negative feelings, they don't get stronger. They actually get lighter. They release. The inner skeptic gets calmer. It'll feel less true. So I don't want you to ever worry that when we're tapping and saying something that might sound really negative, it may be even over-the-top negative, it actually works better. It just gets it out of your whole body and nervous system, and you'll find at the end relief, and the negative words literally don't feel true anymore. So you're no longer fighting them. They just don't feel true. It's also not important what sequence of you use or how many times you tap each tapping point. I tend to do it maybe 4 or 5 times on each point, but just move through the points at your own pace. I'm just going to give you the phrases to say, and you can just repeat them after me out loud, right? I can't hear you. You can be as loud as you want. You're at home. Maybe if you're walking through the park listening on your iPod, you know, maybe you might want to mumble. But you just repeat after me while tapping the points, sort of in any speed or fashion or changing from point to point as you really feel comfortable. It's really just you need to stimulate the acupuncture points, enough of them, to make a shift in the nervous system. And believe me, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. Okay, so I want to start with the emotion of shame. And I'm going to mix in shame and anxiety because those ones come up. So I just want you to look at all the things you've written down about money, all the different numbers, all the different parts. And tune in now to, God, it's so embarrassing. I'm so ashamed. And it can also sound like this, I'm such a loser. That's also shame. Okay? And I'm just going to jump in and start giving you tapping points, and I want you to just keep tapping and just saying what I'm saying. We're going to keep on going. Okay? Any of the tapping points, just jump right in and repeat after me. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Every part of my money, and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. It's so heavy all through my body. I'm so ashamed. It's so wrong. It's so embarrassing. And it's so scary. All this shame in my body. All this stress in my nervous system. It's overwhelming. No wonder why I don't spend a lot of time thinking about my money. All this guilt. God, I'm such a loser. Failure. Failure in money. I'm so ashamed. I'm just going to honor that heavy feeling. Shame, shame, shame. Stuck in my stomach. Like a pit. And what if it never changes? It's so awful and scary. I feel so awful. All the shame. I honor everything I feel. I've said this to myself a million times. Failure. Shameful. Frustrating. It's depressing. I'm disappointed in myself. I should be doing better. I should know better. I should make different choices. I should be able to figure this out. And I never do. I can never get ahead. Failure. So heavy. I honor all of these dark feelings. I honor that I've been carrying them. And maybe even my parents carried them. All of these dark, shameful feelings. I've made so many mistakes. Don't I deserve to yell at myself? If anyone saw these numbers, I would be so embarrassed, horrified, and mortified. And people would see the truth about me, that I'm an idiot, or I'm not strong enough, or I'm missing something. People would judge me. And oh, I judge myself. All of this shame. I've been telling myself that I deserve to feel bad. And I'm just going to honor that. I've been really hard on myself. Torturing myself, really. Don't I deserve to feel ashamed? Look at these numbers. Don't I deserve to beat myself up? To judge myself harshly? I've been judging myself for years, feeling ashamed. And from that place, everything feels impossible. And overwhelming. And I'm just going to honor that. I honor this feeling of shame, this self-punishment, and I'm open to lightening it up. Maybe it's time. All this shame in my body, all this shame about money, shame about earning, shame about spending, shame that I don't earn enough. I literally can't win. I honor everything I'm feeling. And I'm open to light, compassion, healing. The truth is, I've seen things today in a whole new light. I get it. Maybe it's time to let go of some of this shame. To let go of my long history of self-punishment. Maybe it's time. I can't move forward without it. And I really do want to move forward. Anxiety in my body about money. Deep programming. Fear and anxiety about money. Anxiety wired into my nervous system. And the thoughts I think over and over. I totally honor them. And I'm open to healing. For my highest good. Okay, and take a breath. It's always good to take a cleansing breath after a long round of tapping like that. And I just want you to check in. Sometimes as we tap, we'll start with a feeling and then it'll peak up and get worse and then start to come down. And so just check in. What's the feeling that's left there now? Is it still shame? Is it still anxiety? Or is there a mix of compassion there? Are you starting to feel some compassion? Remember that when you're feeling shame, it means there's a process going on in you, energetically, emotionally, unconsciously, every level, that says, I don't deserve. Or said another way, I deserve exactly what I'm getting. When you shift to some self-compassion, it's like a quantum leap. Because here's what self-compassion says, and I want you to just close your eyes and take a breath as I say this. Self-compassion means, oh my God, I've been doing my best. I actually deserve a little better than this. I deserve like a hug and some compassion and some consideration, and I deserve to feel better. I deserve happiness. I deserve some joy. Do you see how different that sounds? From I deserve this to I actually deserve better. And I think I'm ready to receive that. And from that place, that's the place, the unconscious place that drives everything that you manifest and every action that you take and how your brilliance and your focus and your energy aligns with your actions. It changes you and it changes what the universe brings you. If you're always saying, I don't deserve, you know, I deserve to feel ashamed. I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I've created this. It's all my fault. What you're saying to the universe is, keep punishing me, please, because that's what I'm resonating at. When you say, I actually deserve some compassion and some joy, you're no longer saying, keep punishing me. And I'm telling you, if you've been keeping punishment mixed into your money, or the story that says I don't deserve a lot mixed into your income or your debt or your savings account, when you shift inside, everything will change. So sometimes when we feel the compassion start to open up, it can trigger some sadness. So just want you to put your hand on your heart, which is your heart chakra. And just say, I've been really hard on myself. I've literally broken my own heart. Because that's what happens when you're this hard on yourself. When you have a line of recorded voice in your head that says, I'm an idiot, I'm a loser, it's all my fault, it's not enough, I'm not good enough. You're breaking your own heart. So I just want you to hold your heart for a second. And just see if some understanding, based on all the aha moments I've given you today, that you just, what we said in the tapping, do you get it? Have you seen it a little bit differently right now? Now, there's still more work to do, right? Your nervous system's been running this way for however old you are, and it's going to take some time to rewire that habitual programmed response. But this is how we start, compassion and willingness. So we're just going to do, we're going to finish up with another round of tapping, okay, more positive round. We can do both with tapping. Just jumping in on the tapping points. I've been really hard on myself. And it's been really hard on me to have this much negative programming in my money, to feel like things are disappointing and impossible, to feel like the cards are stacked against me. That's some really hard stuff. To feel like I don't have enough value or worth to earn more. To feel powerless and disappointed in money all the time. That's hard. I've lived with anxiety and shame for years. I've paid a real price for my programming. It's hard stuff. And I carry it 24 hours a day. Sometimes it wakes me up in the middle of the night. And I can't sleep. Worrying about money. I totally honor myself. And I've added on top of that, being really hard on myself, really mean, actually mean to myself. I've added to this being ruthless, ruthlessly critical of myself. to the point that I've broken my own heart before. I've literally beaten myself down. Of course that's showing up in my money. And maybe I have insight on why I do that. But either way, I'm just going to honor it in a new light today. I give myself the gift of compassion. I give myself the gift of understanding. I'm opening my heart, the wisdom of my heart, and understanding all of this at a higher level. This is so much bigger than money. And it's really affecting my money. I give myself the gift of self-love and the reminder or the new information that I do deserve. I deserve happiness. I deserve to feel safe. I've never gotten that. And I have a lot of grief about that. And whenever I look at my money, it's just a giant metaphor. I have a lot of sadness, and I'm just going to honor that. I honor this sadness because it's honoring me. And everything I've lost because of this shame and fear, because of this programming I have around money. And because I love myself so much, I am going to heal this. I honor myself now. I honor who I am and who I've always been. And I honor who I am becoming. In these 90 minutes, I've become more conscious and more compassionate. And that is huge. I honor who I'm becoming. Conscious and deserving. When it comes to money, powerful and resourceful when it comes to money, and I bless everything I wrote down on this piece of paper. I bless all of these numbers. It's my current reality. It's what I've created based on my entire life of programming and doing my best. And everything's changing now. I bless my current reality. And I am open to everything that is now possible and unfolding for me. I commit to to holding this compassion for myself in my heart over the next week and saying a new thing inside of my head, which is this: I deserve better. I deserve more. I want more, and I deserve it. And take a breath. And just feel what's happening in your body now. Should be a lot of energy moving there. A lot of energy moving. And so even over the next 24 hours, what we just did is going to integrate and reorganize in your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind, your nervous system. Literally, we're changing some wiring. And to shift wiring in your nervous system, you know, neuroplasticity, we need to both clear this stuff. So when it comes up, we tap and turn it down. That turns down the old reaction. And we need to proactively put in some new things, like the words, I deserve better. I actually deserve more. And the compassion, the holding of the compassion in your heart, seeing the bigger picture and having compassion for yourself, that is a brand new way of operating. And so I had you say the words, I commit. I commit to holding this compassion for myself in my heart and saying something new. I deserve better. I deserve more. I want more. Because from that energy, everything is possible. Now, right now, you might feel a little low energy, a little tired. This is draining work. Right? We have to get through it. It's draining. We're dredging up really heavy stuff, and we're voicing it, we're honoring it, and we're moving it. You may have more tears to cry for yourself, and that's okay. Cry those tears for yourself. Let those tears flow for yourself. That sadness is honoring you. But I promise you that on the other side of moving this dark, heavy stuff, you're going to open up a storehouse of energy and focus and determination and activity that is going to change every aspect of your money. It takes a lot of energy to hold all of this stuff back. And it wastes a lot of energy having all of this programming, having you do all sorts of things in your behaviors and activities and what you're doing with your money. It's so time-wasting to have these unconscious programming having you do all sorts of crazy things in your money without realizing it. So when we clear this, everything is more focused, more conscious, and you have way more energy. So let yourself process over the next couple days. If it's heavy, keep tapping. This is a major event happening inside of you right now. And no, you will get to the other side. Tapping works. And take another breath. And I just want to close this module saying, I'm so proud of you for being here. And I honor what you just tapped through with me. And I honor you for jumping in and taking the chance. Some of you know me, some of you have never heard of me till now, and doing this work with me and getting really serious about getting specific and clearing your money blocks. I am honored to be doing this with you right now. And so do your homework, do the tapping, honor yourself, and I will see you in Module 2.